Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to another Knife Talk podcast. We are reporting to you from a frozen northern hemisphere. It's freezing as fuck everywhere. I'm here as always with Jeff Fader of Fader Knives and Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives, as well as the 355s. Chop Knives and the 355s. Holy shit, that goes together nice. All right, it flows. It's got flow. Anyways, we're here to answer you guys' questions, talk about knives, work through dilemmas, whether it's customers or other knife makers or whatever, and to keep you company in the shop. So we thank you all for joining us. And Craig is back from a drug-induced rock and roll coma.
I did hear your intro last week, and believe me, it was nothing like that.
Oh,
it was,
that's too bad.
Yeah, too bad.
I like it when Mareko, you can tell that he's just like, I'm going to go right over the line.
He went in hot.
I'm going to go right over the line.
Well, how was it? Tell us about the show.
It was great. So we did two. We did a Friday night and a Saturday night. So I flew in Friday. I got the full Rockstar treatment. So they all traveled up in the back of a van, set up all the gear. I flew in, I was picked up from the airport, was straight to the venue and everything.
Like on a G6 or what?
It was just, no, Ryanair. The cheapest flight you could possibly get.
Oh, Ryanair is some fucking bullshit. That's flea bag shit right
it
there.
It is, really is.
He's probably more comfortable in that van.
It would have been, yeah, less parts. Maybe. Yeah. It was great. So the first one was in the Water Rats in London, which is quite an iconic venue. It's where, as I say, Dylan played his London shows and so on. Yeah, it was amazing. And we had a full room. So we were just like, whew. So, yeah, it's one of those weird things, but lots of weird things happened. So we had, I don't know if Dodgy were a big band in the US. They were big in the UK back in the 90s. But the guy from Dodgy was going on before us. He was sort of supporting us doing an acoustic set.
Oh, nice.
He come off the stage. We go on stage, and we've got like a walk-on music. You know what? You know, we get on, we tune up, then our drummer kicks straight in. So the walk-on music's in, and all I can hear is, fuck, 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 from the side of the stage. I'm like, what the hell is that? So Nigel had walked off the stage, still had his guitar on him, and managed to get his guitar stuck in the door. So he was pinned to the door, couldn't move.
Oh, shit.
He was stuck, and it took four of us to like to wedge his guitar string. Oh, yeah. So
what?
Yeah, it was a very strange, freak thing that happened. He was fine, but it was just very strange.
What kind of door was this? You couldn't just open the door again?
No, because his strap had gone behind it, and it was wedged. So when you tried to open it, it was wedging him for.
It was like a Three Stooges shit.
Basically, oh yeah, yeah. Our intro music's playing. Our intro music comes to an end, and there's us trying to drag him out of this doorway. It was very strange. But what was even madder was, so, you know, we did the gig, and we had a few drinks afterwards, all the rest of it. It's about 2 a.m. now, and I'm in the hotel next door. Go to get into the room, and it wouldn't open. My card wouldn't work. But I heard like a shuffling inside. So I'm like, what's going on here?
I knew it.
So I bang on the door. This little Spanish man opens the door. He goes, see? I go, excuse me, I think this is my room. And he's just looking at me completely blankly. Doesn't understand a word I'm saying. Well, it turned out that earlier on in the day, when I was a bit adrenaline-fueled, shall we say, I'd said to a friend, oh, it's because they had a friend with them who'd flown in, and they were had a few too many drinks, and they just went to sleep. I said, if they want to go back and have a little sleep, I've got like a twin room, so there's a spare bed. As long as they're gone by the time I'm back, it's fine. I gave him the key. I forgot all about this.
Oh, God.
So anyway, so he's looking at me blankly, and I'm just like, okay, it's 2 a.m. I need to sleep. What's going on? So I walk in, and there's just a double bed in this room now. So there's this little Spanish man and me, almost like a Mexican standoff. I am completely spent. I am knackered. So
you don't know this guy at all. You have no idea who he is.
No idea who he is. So it was just like, so I'm telling him basically, you need to get out. You know, it's my room. I need to sleep. I'm not sleeping with a random Spanish man.
This is me who hates
confrontation. So right. So what do you think? First of all, what would have you have done?
Fucking scenario time.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you'd say, oh, get out. That's what a normal person would do.
I don't think I would. If you want my honest opinion what I would do, I'd go on the front desk, and I'd be like, what is going on? And then
you gave him your key earlier.
Yeah, you gave him your key, you moron. And I would probably say, well, then I just need to get in the room.
Yeah, well... So this is what I did.
Sometimes.
This is what I did. Oh, God. Oh, man.
I was obviously
still drunk. So I walk over to the bed, sit on the bed, slowly start taking my shoes off. Slowly, thinking, he's going to go soon. Get to the point where my shoes are off. I'm like, right.
Is he naked by this time?
No, he did have clothes on, thankfully. So now I'm like... Now do I go for the trousers? Do I take the trousers? And this is just like a standoff to see who breaks first. It felt as if it was 10 minutes. I'm sure it was 30 seconds. But in the end, he sort of looked at me and went, okay, I go. He picked up his stuff in his arms and he just walked out the room. I'm just left in this room thinking, what the hell just happened?
Well, who was
Absolute
he?
Absolute madness. He was a... He was a friend of our producer who'd come in from Spain for to watch us. Had way too many drinks in the afternoon.
He did.
He did, yeah. Mm. So by 7 p.m. he was done, you know? Yeah, God. It was one of those very strange, bizarre situations.
That's not a rock and roll lifestyle.
It's not. A little Spanish man in your bed. It's not what... It wasn't on the rider.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're looking for.
But. I mean, yeah, he did say, I don't sleep with random Spanish men. So did you...
Jorge, out!
did you end up saying anything to your producer? Like, what
I
the
did
fuck,
the next
dude?
Day. We were just laughing about it because he was saying, well, don't you remember giving him the key? I'm embarrassed. Apparently there was a thing where I gave him the key and I told him my room number and I squeezed his ass and gave him a fake kiss. I was like, jokingly. So then I show up and start taking my clothes off. The more I think back, I'm sweating now. My eyeballs are sweating thinking of the whole situation now. It's just like, oh, man.
You didn't start with this story. You should have started with that part of the story. So this guy thought he was going to get a leg over, huh?
Oh, man. Anyway, so that was Friday. Saturday we went back to Wales to play a gig, and the venue I didn't know much about the venue. We told the venue, we turn up, we walk in, and it was there was like sofas everywhere, and it was just like, what the fuck is this? It's a very weird place. A bar at the back. Anyway, the first band goes on, and they're like the punkest punk you've ever seen. They're in the crowd. They're lying on the floor in the crowd. Everybody's jumping around them. Shit, we're up next, you know. We're quite, you know, it's rock, but it's quite gentle, I suppose.
Sure.
It went down really well, thankfully, but it was just one of those things. What is going on with my life, you know? I'm nearly 50 years old. What's going on? But hey, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. So all this week, I've just been knackered. Absolutely knackered, because it was like a whistle-stop tour. So it was Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday all day in the studio, then fly back early hours Monday morning. So all week I've just been like flagging.
Can we just say that your any hotel story you have, it's always super duper questionable. Because the birth of your son, last episode Mareko mentioned it, but if you go back into the archives, I'm talking to listeners, the birth of Buddy...
I was in a whole house.
Craig, wait, you got to set it up right, otherwise people think you're crazy. His poor wife is in this hospital. Craig's got to get some sleep. They won't let him in because of COVID. He gets a hotel in a brothel area, and they start sending phone calls up saying, would you like us to send some women up? And he's saying, no, I don't want you to send women up. He booked himself a room in a whorehouse.
I didn't know. It was the cheapest I could find that was close to the hospital.
Both these stories of I didn't know are so suspect. This is the second I didn't know. The fucking little Spanish guy in the bed. And then the whore. Craig, you're leading a double life. Just say it. That's two questionable stories.
Jorge and the horse. That's what the book is. That's what the book will be called, clearly. Jorge and the horse.
Rock and roll lifestyle.
Anyway, so that's been my week. And I said, just recovering this week, just even now, just knackered. And it's so cold here as well. I'm feeling twice as old as I am because it's like so cold. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's cold everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. What's the next big gig?
Well, we've got some support gigs now coming up for... So Dodgy, the band where I said the lead singer supported us, he's back with the full band now doing a UK tour. And we're doing the Saturdays on his tour. So basically, because we all sort of work, and we're all busy in the week. It's how rock and roll we are. We said we can only come and do Saturdays with you. So yeah, so the Saturday gigs around the UK. So in March and April, I believe it is.
Oh, March and April. Well, that'll be fun.
It'll be amazing. Because, you know, it's our audience. They're like 90s audiences, you know. They're a little bit older than us. You know, I was into them back in the 90s. So... yeah, it's the perfect audience for us, and they're going to be sort of 7,000-8,000 people venues as well. Whoa. So it's going to be pretty cool. Yeah,
just give Jorge your itinerary and
he's on the rider. He's on the rider. Five Sammy girls and a little Spanish man.
Jesus Christ, unbelievable. Well, welcome back. It's great to hear
your
voice.
Thank you.
This is actually the first episode we've all been together in 2024. So
yeah, first one.
It is. You're right. Yes. Yeah. So, Mareko, what's been going on?
Basic knife-making shit. I have been exploring with some handle shaping lately, doing a little bit more kind of, I don't know what to call it, if it's carving or sculpting, because I'm not even using carving tools. I'm just using my sanding stick to like create these different contours, the lines and the handles. But it's pretty fun because I've been kind of burned out. I've been making knives for almost 14 years now, and I get to these burnout points, and so I'm trying to make it interesting by playing with these different shapes. And like we've talked about before, trying to figure out how to differentiate your work, a really great place to do that is in the handle. It still needs to be comfortable, but you can do a lot of different stuff to make it still very kind of unique. In a way, and so I've been doing that. Otherwise, not much else. I don't have the rock star lifestyle, unfortunately. So
yeah, who does?
Nothing crazy to report back yet.
Who fucking does?
Craig.
There he is.
I'm so excited about all these new stories that are gonna come through this experience of yours.
My wife really is too. Yes, loves the story.
Oh, dude, I can only imagine over the years of you having to try to explain these stories. And it's always just so, I mean, I don't know anybody who gets themselves in these positions like you do. I don't, seriously. Amy, you're never going to believe it this time. Fucking, this Spanish guy ended up in my bed. Oh, sure.
Did I?
The Spanish bed warmer.
There's something else. Sorry, I brought the gift back for Amy. Did I tell you about the Pussy Queen in the past?
Oh, my God. This is, okay. Stop for a second. Guys, if you go back to episode 1-7 of Knife Talk, this is the same guy. This is the same guy. So when you complain about, I used to listen to Knife Talk, and once they brought in Jeff, then it all went to shit. This is the fucking guy right here. Pussy Queen is the fucking guy who was there from 1-8 or 1-20, okay? So just go ahead.
Let me be brief, because otherwise we'll go on all day.
Go ahead.
So I'm working with a Japanese band. I'm doing some producing for them, and they supported us in these gigs. They're great. They're called Sahashi. But one of them brought their wife over, and I thought they were too young to be married. They seem about 18, but apparently they're 22. And anyway, she's beautiful, a little, you know, Japanese, as you'd imagine a Japanese girl to look, very sort of pale and exotic looking. but she always wears a T-shirt saying the Pussy Queen. I'm like, well, what's all that about? And she said, oh, she goes in a bag and she pulls out this bag of sweets. And she said, these are from my pussy. And I'm like, sorry, excuse me? So she makes a living by, so she's a singer, but she sells these sweets. Okay. And they've extracted.
Get the fuck out of here. Keep going. Keep going.
Stop interrupting.
Extracted liquids from her, shall we say, which are part of the sweet, flavorings of the sweet. So these sweets, apparently, they're marketed as tasting like her pussy. So she gave me these and said, oh, these are for your wife. So what? I brought these up. I shall put up a post. Actually, I can send you a post and I'll send you a picture now, because I've got a picture on my phone, because I sent it to Amy. I said, look, I've got sweets for you.
How is this person in jail?
It's just the most random thing in the world. It is what it is.
Oh my god.
I mean, we all gotta have our hustle. And good for her. Oh my god.
I bet she really pulls it in. So to speak.
Hey, she could be canning farts. So
she could be canning farts, exactly. I'm just texting it to you both now.
Oh boy. As long as it's just texting, thank you very much. Oh my god. And so what, you gave it to, did you like, when she gave it to you, did you put your hand out, or did you like hold it up like you're...
But they're wrapped, thankfully, they're wrapped in a wrapper. But,
oh, of course, so that's
But apparently it's a big thing. It's a big thing over there.
Vagina-flavored candy?
Yeah, she's a bit of a mini celebrity over there.
Really? And,
The sweets are part of her vibe, yeah.
Now, when she told you about it, was she straight-faced or was she a little bit sheepish? Because, I mean...
Completely straight-faced. Whoa. I mean, this is... Yeah, she's standing next to her husband telling me about these. And I'm like, oh, and he's laughing, saying, they're saltier than you'd think.
Oh,
and I'm
just like, oh, man.
And it's just like, oh, it was all very...
God damn it.
There's a lot to take in.
That is awesome.
Anyway, back, we're 16 minutes in and we haven't even mentioned the word knife yet.
This is the reason why. We can't get
Mareko. Your handle. Sorry, you've been sculpting and you've been.
Yeah, it's very exotic looking, and I'm excited for people to see it, and I'm curious to hear people's feedback. But I'm excited to do more of these because it was fun. It was a fun exploration in sculpting. Basically, I don't really do a lot of sculpting outside of handle sculpting, so this is definitely more kind of on the artful side of knife making.
Nice.
I don't know. I sent you guys a video, right?
Yeah.
You saw it?
You sent it yesterday. It looks awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, have you?
Excellent transition, P.S. You did the best you could. You did the best you could, Mareko.
Sorry.
You did a very good job. You did a very good job on that transition. I don't know how you get transitioned from Pussy Queen to that, but you did a great job.
I just went back into it.
You did, so to speak, as they say. So, well, I don't know even what the fuck you say, except for the fact that Knife Talk is sponsored by Even Heat. Manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available, ladies and gentlemen. Get your next oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com. You know what I'm saying? Because we all know what Even Heat is. It's hard on the outside, and it's warm in the middle. All right, evenheat-kiln.com. All right, guys, listen.
You're a manufacturer of premier hot boxes.
Oof. This is, I mean, we'll keep going. All right, I'm going to bring it back to Knife Talk, ladies and gentlemen.
Good.
So it's very cold here as well, and I was going over some things in the shop. We're working on new stuff, doing all this new stuff. So I'm going to propose a scenario that happened to us, and I'm going to get your decision-making and what you would do in the situation. And try to be objective. Try to not do what the other guy says. You know, really think about it and figure it out. Allison gave me a call and said that, all right, let me redo this. So let's just say that you've done some gifts for whatever, Christmas. So somebody buys 4 or 5 knives from you as Christmas gifts, and they distribute these gifts out. A couple of weeks later, a month later, you get a message saying, hey, I was a recipient of one of these gifts. It was one of your knives. They're beautiful. I didn't use it. It's kind of a little bit bigger than I would use. And I went on your website, and I noticed that you have something a little bit on the smaller side. I know this was a gift. Would you consider exchanging from the gift that I received to this smaller knife? Okay. How do you respond?
So was this from the person who purchased them?
No.
Or was this from
the recipient.
Who received it as a gift?
It was a gift. So somebody bought all of them and then distributed them. And one of the distributees decided to look on the website and say, this is kind of more along the lines of what I want. Let's just roll the dice and see what happens. So what do you say? Mareko, what do you say?
I feel like if I could, if I felt confident that I could resell that knife, then why wouldn't you exchange it for a less expensive, smaller knife and then sell that knife?
Right.
Add that to the
inventory. There's no logo on it. There's nothing on there that... Okay. Now, Craig, what would you do?
I was going to say something similar because now you're in a position where you hold stock now, don't you? So these aren't being custom made each time. You're holding stock. And as you've just confirmed, there's no logo on them. What I'd probably do is reach out to the person who initially bought them as gifts and just say, hi, you know, hope you're well. This person reached out. She said, I've got no problem with it. I just wanted to run it by you.
Well, that would be embarrassing, don't you think?
No, I don't.
To the person, all of a sudden now it's like, weirdness between the person who bought them and then the person who's
possibly,
trying to do...
Possibly, but...
You, I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't. Okay. So what did you do?
So Allison said, what do you think? I'm like, all right, if they want it the smaller knife, I don't have a problem with it. They didn't send a picture of it. They didn't explain other than that. It was one of our standard, 9-inch chef knives, 8-inch K-tips, whatever it was. So it was something that we knew that wouldn't be hard to, wasn't something special out of the box. I mean, it was something we could have on the website, not a big deal.
Oh, no. I can sense something coming up.
Go ahead. What do you sense?
They haven't used it and put it in a dishwasher over there.
Oh, we haven't gotten that far yet.
Oh, shit. Okay. Sorry.
So my response to Allison is, well, fine. I got no problem with that. They want to if they want to send it in, if it hasn't been fucked up or too bad. I mean, even if it's been a little fucked up, it's not the end of the world. You can fix something, I'm not saying, not a total redo, but like if there's a scuff on it, it's not the end of the world. So I said, you know what? It's not such a big deal. So go ahead and say, if they want, blah, blah, blah. Then they reach out and say, thank you so much. I was noticing that the smaller knife is also less expensive, and I was wondering if I could get money back with it.
Oh.
Icky.
They didn't pay for it. Yeah. As if, not only am I giving them a new knife, a different knife, I'm giving them the balance. All of a sudden it's just like I'm giving them $150, something like that.
That doesn't seem
well. What do you do?
Me.
So what do you do?
This again. I do the same. I'd go back to the original purchaser and just explain. I have to say I've got no problem with it.
Oh, you're gonna give this fucking stranger $150? Are you gonna cut him a check? Or you can't redo their. I mean, they didn't pay for it.
Yeah. Oh fuck. That's a difficult one. I would go back to the original purchaser, the guy who bought him as gift, just to embarrass him now,
right?
Because they're being cheeky.
But that's like a fucking weird flex, right?
It's weird.
It's very strange.
Like, if you're given the gift, you don't also, if someone's nice enough to say, hey, yeah, no problem, you don't even have to pay us restocking fee, you don't have to pay for shipping, we'll just do a straight swap. Then to go back and say, well, I know that this is also less expensive, so they didn't say it in a way that was just like, do you think I could get like a refund? It was more along the lines of, do you think I could get like, credit or money for the balance? What do you do, Mareko?
I would not give that to them. If anything, I would give it back to the original purchaser. But I think, at this point, you got to get the original purchaser involved. Because you're not fucking Target or Costco or anything like that.
Yeah, L.L. Bean, right?
Yeah. Or say to them, I wouldn't have a problem, but I would have to let them know, I'd say. And they'd probably then back off and say, okay, don't worry about it. That's probably what I'd say.
Yeah, or you could be like, just for the trouble, you'd be like, you only offer exchanges, but you don't do refunds. Especially if it's not to the original.
Yeah.
Or refund it's not difference of value. Especially if it's not the original purchaser.
If they had said, well, hey, you know what? I noticed it's a little less expensive. Do you think you could give the recipient the refund? Mm. That's different. But if you're right. Give me the refund, it was like, so do you want to know what I did?
What did you do? Tell us.
I didn't have to do anything because Allison was like, go fuck yourself. Allison didn't even ask me. She said, go fuck yourself. She said, I'm not putting up with this. This is why Allison's the best. AZ rules. She is fucking Philly all day. She is a real Philly person, and she's fantastic. She didn't even... This is how we knew we got to a new level with Allison. She didn't even bother asking me. She said to the guys, you know, like, what should I do? She was just like, listen, here's what we'll do. We'll do you a swap. Or how about this? She wrote, how about this? And I'm being a little bit a little dramatic. How about this? Why don't I just refund the original buyer and then you can just buy whatever you want? So she was just like, we're not fucking, and then even Tony was like, yeah, we're not fooling around with it. We're not going back and forth with this person.
Yeah, yeah.
So Alice was just basically like, how about we refund them the total and you can just go buy yourself your own knife?
That's a good one.
How good is that? Alice said, yeah. So here's the response. Nothing. We've got nothing. You know, because it's like, that's the thing. It's if the person is trying to be clever. This person really should have... This is referring to as hawking me in Chinik, which is this Yiddish expression. Be like, you're asking too much. You ask and you ask and you ask and you ask and you're going too far. If this person just wanted the different knife, you just do that. But then all of a sudden, it's just like, you're asking for more and more and more. And now it's like, now they're too afraid because they know, we're just going to tell the recipient, the person who bought the thing, that this guy is like, you know, the gift recipient is a flea bag.
Yeah. They'd be embarrassed and everything. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's good.
Most of our listeners wouldn't even have taken the original email, frankly. They would have been like, that's not how it works, you guys. Yeah. But, you know, thought that was an interesting thing to...
Nice. Yeah, no, she handled it perfectly.
Oh, right? Allison's the best. Now it's just like, I was, she was so funny. She was like, I told him to go fuck himself. I was like, all right, awesome.
Perfect.
So what else has been going on, Jeff?
We started late in the summer. We got this offer somebody wanted us to rehandle spatula, and we did it and it went out great. And then I ended up rehandling two of my existing spatulas. And then before Christmas, I thought, you know what? I should just get some less expensive, you know, some old spatulas and then just rehandle them and offer them on the website just to have some. So we did that this past week, and we had like old school, like, you know, short order grill spatulas, and we had some fish spatulas, and we got some plating spatulas. And it's just kind of nice to have something that's, you know, culinary related and very similar to the knives that I make. But I'm not making spatulas. It's just like, I've tried, and it's like the juice isn't worth the squeeze. And none of them are all heat treated anyway. They're all like old, you know, pre-made, you know, spatulas. So that was really cool. And now I'm in this position where I hate merch. I can't tell you how much I hate merch. And one of the things that we do is we buy it from a local t-shirt company that like they do embroidery, they do all this stuff. So we've been getting all messages from people who wanted sizes that we just don't buy because I buy them in bulk. I buy batches. Like, I'll buy batches based on what we sell.
So you don't drop ship. You don't drop ship. I feel as though
it's like, you know, we're a small business. Let's support small businesses. And so I buy the shirts outright. And I got a great relationship with my guys because they, like, you know, they'll make me two shirts if I need it. And they're dynamite. So I get a message from one of these customers coming up. He's like, hey, I was wondering if I could get a 3XL. And I'm like, I know we don't have any 3XL. So I decided to go on Instagram and say, hey, I'm going to be doing an order of, and I didn't want to make it like, hey, you fat fuckers. I didn't want to be like that. I was going to be like,
it's January. We've all had a big Christmas lunch.
I wasn't going to do that. I was going to be respectful. And I said, look, I understand. I don't usually have this in stock. If you want something, say it. You know, and I gave him a list. You know, 2XL, 3XL, 4XL. And I've had one guy years ago ask me for a 5XL. And I was like, I don't even know where to begin. I can get a 5XL, but it's like, you know, it's a production. And I wrote, just do me a favor. I want a real idea because I'm going to buy these shirts. So if you're going to do it, let's just be honest. So people were, you know, clicking on this, clicking on that. I'm going to buy some bigger shirts and stuff like that. And who do you think asked for a 5XL t-shirt? Who do you think?
Ooh.
Take a guess. Knife making community, stalwart person in the community. Take a guess without looking. Take a guess. Don't look. No, but is anybody there? Are you guys still there?
Still here.
I'm there. Sorry.
Well,
sorry.
I take a guess.
I wouldn't want to offend anybody by guessing.
You don't want to offend Steve Pellegrino? 135 pounds soaking wet, this fucking guy.
The most stylish man in the night business.
The most stylish guy in the world. You fuck around. You fuck, what was a 5XL? So, Steve, get ready. Get your forklift ready because I'm going to palletize a 5XL for you.
And you're going to get $20
for shipping. Get your crowbar, get your forklift. You're going to get the 5XL. You're going to make like a bed sheet for you, you little bastard.
That's a cuddle shirt.
A cuddle shirt? It's a fucking tent. This is an REI, for Christ's sake.
Him and his wife can climb inside the shirt together.
Yeah. 5XL for a little Steve Pellegrino. Smart ass. So that's the end of it. That's all I got.
Sounds good.
Cool. Right, we're half an hour in. Should we do some questions?
Yeah, whatever you want.
Before we do.
Combat Abrasives makes the world's best abrasive belts for knife makers. Available in any size at unbelievable prices. Go take a look at combatabrasives.com and get 15% off with promo code KNIFETALK15. Do it now.
So it now. Before we go into it, I just got the picture from Craig. Thank God. It's in kanji or whatever it is. No one would ever know.
No one would
that
ever
this
know.
This was vagina extractive. Treats.
Yeah. Ronald Handmade, first question in. If you've got a question for us, we are Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. DM us and we can add them to the list. Ronald Handmade did exactly that. And he says, curious if any of you have had any other hands-on hobbies away from knife making. Or if you have in the past. I have too many hobbies to count, he said. Well, I'll kick off. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've always had way too many hobbies with the amount of time that I have. From music to sort of music production to sort of electronic-y things as well and making little gadgets and all that kind of stuff.
Podcasting.
Yeah. Podcasting, I suppose. Yeah. There's plenty there, and not enough hours in the day. Jeff, what about you?
It's weird. Now making sculpture or art would probably be my hobby because I don't do it as often as I'd like, and that would be something that I don't think I'll ever not do. But I'm looking forward to days where I can. That would be hobby number one, and then this recent hobby, which has been turned into like. This new part of my like relaxation has been watching sports. I cannot describe it. I was talking to somebody, but it's become something that allows me to detach from all the other things going on, and I'm enjoying it. And it's like complete, it's escapism, and it's I find it to be fascinating. So there's that, and then I want to get back into running. So exercise.
Me too, actually. Amy and I, Amy signed up for a half marathon. I couldn't quite be convinced, but definitely getting out there and running a bit. We've done a bit since Christmas, but
Running's tough because if you don't do it often, it sucks.
It's hard to start up again.
It sucks. Like that's the thing about. I mean, I think exercise in general. I think people get discouraged because they don't see immediate gains or whatever. And it's like, it's one of those things you just got to dedicate the time to it.
Mm. Yeah. The thing is, I love it. When I do something, whether it's exercising or go to the gym or whatever, I absolutely love it. But it's just the decision to go. That's always where I fall down. I'm like, oh, no. See, I know I'll love it.
See, that's
doing it. And I know I'll love it afterwards. But it's just the thought of going. I don't know. It's a weird mental block.
I know how to do it. And what you do is you have to make it like it's an in stone situation. You're not allowed to talk yourself out of it, even if you don't want to do it. That's the key. It's an appointment that you can't break.
You need to gamify it. And there are platforms that have done that where you can either with somebody, you could even do it with Amy or somebody halfway around the world, but where you basically hold each other. It's like an accountability app. And if you don't do the things you say you're going to do, then you donate $20 to whatever.
The problem I've got with apps is we were going to go for a run the other day, and like my Apple Watch wasn't charged, then my AirPods wasn't charged, and I had all these excuses not to go. You know, and it's just like, I haven't downloaded my favorite playlist, and I haven't. And I was using them as excuses rather than the.
I haven't eaten my pussy sweets today. I can't run. I can't possibly run.
Yeah, so I think if anything, I need to strip back and just go, just get out and do it rather than try and.
Walking the dogs have been like heartbeat. Super helpful to me in terms of like that. You got to walk the goddamn dogs, and that was to me was the best in terms of just you had no choice. You know, you got to get out there and walk the dogs.
Yeah.
What about you, Mareko?
Hobbies. I used to play pool competitively, and so I've gotten back into it in the last year. Very slowly, I go out and play pool maybe once a week or something like that. Nice. So I love that, and it's a great opportunity to get out of the shop, and go spend some time with buddies I don't see very often. And then, what else? I like long walks on the beach and digging for clams and foraging in the woods and go for hikes in the mountains, and playing guitar, and cooking.
Nice.
Yeah. Those are my hobbies.
Cool. If you've got hobbies, send them in to Knife Talk Podcast.
Certainly do not. We don't care about your fucking hobbies. Half of your hobby is knife makers, so that's your hobby.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, true.
All right.
Here we go in.
Ready for another one?
All the time.
This one's from K&M Knives. What is the best way for a hobbyist knife maker that occasionally sells his knives to check the hardness after heat treat? Thanks in advance and love the podcast.
Good question.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. You can get files, you can get chisels. Yeah. I was really lucky enough to get a hardness tester really, really cheap. So keep an eye out for them. But I think more and more people are getting into this, so they're more, they're harder to come by. Files don't necessarily have to be too expensive. Or I've never used the chisels. I think you have, haven't you, Jeff?
Yes, I have. I've started off with the files. And then I kind of thought that the files are good, except for when you start to think about what happens to files. They slowly wear away. And all of a sudden, the out of the box might give you a different reading than after a year or so. And I had a message from, I guess it was Matt Parkinson. Matt Parkinson started selling these chisels. And they're little small chisels that he has for each one, and it's like a small piece of steel with a chisel. They're all professionally heat treated, and each one is stamped with a number, and you use it to scratch, and you basically go from one to the and then until it can't scratch, and then you figure out what your hardness is. And when I got him from him, he said that he had talked to Kevin Cashin, and Kevin Cashin said these are really, really a great way to test your hardness if you don't want to get a hardness tester. And I am aware that our friend Lawrence Lake over at Maritime Knife Supply has them in stock, or if he doesn't have them in stock, he will have them in stock. So
they're in stock. I'm looking at them now on the website. So they've got, so it's they're like little blades, and they're, what are these? It's a 58, a 60, a 62, and a 64 Rockwell. As Jeff said, give them a scratch and you can see, you'll get a rough guide of how hard your knives are.
Yeah, you're not going to get it down to like 6.6, 60.1, but you're going to get an idea, especially if you're a hobbyist. It is nice to know if you're in the area. P.S., this whole time I was talking, I was trying to make a joke about a hardness tester and how the husband of the pussy queen could make accommodating candy called the hardness tester, and I couldn't get anything happen. I couldn't think of it and do the question at the same time. So I apologize. What do you think, Mareko?
I think I agree. I mean, the chisels, and I think files are accessible. You know, to get a full on hardness tester, it can easily run you over $1,000 to get one of those machines. Yeah, I think that's the most inexpensive way to go beyond, somehow having a friend nearby that has one that you could use. And I think those chisels, I can't remember how much they were last time I saw him selling, maybe $100 and $150 or something like that.
I'm just looking now. So maritimeknifesupply.com, they've got a hardness tester, which is a little cheaper than I thought, actually, which is about 1,200 euros, which is going to be around about $1,200 for the full-on tester. Or they do the chisels for 107. A tenth of the price, basically.
But it also depends on how many chisels. Like, when I got them from Matt, I got a fucking grip of them. So it's like, you got to check out. And when you're buying these chisels, you should also kind of think about where you want to be. Like, if you don't need, if there's choices, you might want to say to yourself, I don't necessarily need a 30 Rockwell chisel. You know, you want something in the, you know, 50s into the 60s. And then that's kind of the range you want to be looking at.
Yeah.
If you're unsure what they are, go to maritimeknifesupply.com. There's a lovely picture of them. They're like little Kiradashis, basically, of different hardness.
For sure.
And anything else that you want. You know, Lawrence has got it all at maritimeknifesupply.com. Steel, belts, handle materials, tools, forges, kilns, and more. Go take a look. maritimeknifesupply.com.
And Jeff was mentioning that sometimes the chisels get a little bit dull. You can actually resharpen them. You just got to be careful not to, like, overheat them. Obviously, you'll fuck up the heat treat. But you can resharpen them so that you can have a nice bitey edge again.
I was saying the files.
Oh, the files. Sorry, the files.
The chisels,
The chisels will dull as well, but they you can sharpen them right back up.
But files are a one-time shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. This next question comes from SP Knife and Tool. By the way, if you want to send us a message or listener feedback or whatever, go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, and that's where we kind of do all this stuff, and you put them in the DMs. This is from SP Knife and Tool. Hello, I love the show. I have a question that I've been wondering if you guys have ever gotten before. Every time I go to the shop, no matter what time of the day it is, about 10 minutes in, and I always have to run to the house. I have to run to the house to take a dump. Is it metal dust, some kind of laxative, or is it just an odd phenomenon that happens 9 times out of 10? Your loyal fan, Ben Dover.
Well, Ben. SP Knife and Tool, let me tell you, every time I come into the studio to do a podcast or whatever, I sit down and I'm like, okay, I've got 20 minutes to get ready. And it's like, let's go and take a dump first. Always. I don't know what it is. But you're right. I think it's maybe an excitement. The adrenaline starts pumping. You know you're about to do something fun. And
Do you think that's what happens to professional athletes when the adrenaline happens?
That's how they pregame.
That's how, you know.
That's how they drop a pound. That's how boxers do it. Yeah.
Drop a pound. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, listen to the first 20 episodes of this. It's not me. It's not me. It's not me who's doing all this. Mareko, you never noticed this phenomenon?
No, not really, no.
I used to notice this phenomenon when I used to drive to the Center for Metal Arts, and I just remember maybe 2 miles out from getting there, I'd be like, it's like the internal GPS. my guts knew exactly where that toilet was, and they knew that, all right, now's the time to fucking, you know, get yourself all fired up. So there was definitely these moments where I would notice, I'm like, every goddamn time at the same time, I gotta go to the bathroom. And it's actually, speaking of which, my goddamn dogs have figured something out. They want, as soon as we finish cooking dinner and I'm serving everybody up, that's when they want to go out for go to the bathroom. Every fucking time. They don't like. And it's like every single time we're about to sit down, that's when they want to go out to the bathroom. And it drives me goddamn crazy. But
I think we can CSI this. I reckon he's having a cup of coffee before headed into the shop. Yeah. That's what it is.
It could be all the sitting in your car getting ready. It could be, there could be a lot of things. I know that the reason why we walk our dogs is because I always feel like churning them gears that gets them to go to the bathroom. But this is definitely not you. I know that there are moments that are like clockwork. Yeah. Your body, it's like your internal GPS. It knows where you are, knows where you're going to be, and knows where it wants to go.
I mean, I think there's definitely a timing aspect to it. Because, so when we go to sleep at night, there's a hormone that's released called vasopressin. And what that does...
We're fucking experts in everything, aren't we?
So what that does...
Asshole. Now we're into asshole talk. Last week it was...
say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Last week was Seltzer Talk. Now it's Talk. Look, go ahead. I'm
so vasopressin shuts down your digestive system and all that, so that when you're asleep for anywhere from 6 to 8 hours at night, you're not shitting the bed in the middle of the night. So it shuts down.
Speak for yourself.
Speak for myself. All right. So I'm not shitting the bed. So when you get up in the morning, as your body is becoming awake and the sunlight's getting in your eyes, and you're getting those signals that it's time to jumpstart everything, get going, that's when your body gets that signal. Okay, all that stuff you've been holding on, time to let it go. And so I think it's just mileage varies. It's from person to person. It's a biochemical thing. But I would say just figure out what that timing is and then fucking work around it.
Look at you.
That's why I don't have a problem when I get to the shop. I get to the shop and I get to work sometimes.
Don't talk.
Unbelievable. I don't have anything to add. That's unbelievable. I had no idea.
No. Yeah.
But I tell you what, sometimes in the middle of the night, I got to piss like a racehorse.
Yeah.
And thank God I don't piss in the bed.
That's an age thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you,
Randy.
Oh, never mind.
Right, go on. No, go on. Tell me.
I was going to say that, like, when I had my prostate check last year, and I got to go back in the archives, but the woman thought that I was looking. She's got a finger up my ass. I told her that I said to her, I'm like, you know, I'm kind of concerned because I do go to the bathroom a lot at night. And she goes, well, do you drink water at night? And I'm like, yeah, I drink water at night. She's like, well, stop drinking water at night. And that was the end of it.
Stop it, stupid.
Yeah, she's like, stop drinking water at night, you moron. Thank you, doctor.
Yeah, quite simple, really.
Can you please take your finger out of my ass? You still up there? I mean, how long would he? Were you checking the wind?
Still up there. You can't tell?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. Randy Reichart. Just wondering if any of you offer a discount on your knives for military veterans or first responders, or if you've ever considered doing so. Any thoughts on this? Thanks. Morocco, start with you.
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I've ever done that, but I also don't know if anybody's ever asked me. I mean, I think it's definitely something to take into consideration, but I think it also varies based on where you're at, you know, because if the person needs a tool, they don't necessarily have to come to you. I think when people are coming to us as custom makers, what they're looking for is kind of like functional art in a way. But at the same time, I don't know. If you can manage something, I think something's better than nothing. And it doesn't hurt to throw in a little something. So, yeah, I probably would offer something of some sort. I don't know what it would be exactly, but, yeah.
Craig's got a new candy to put in every box. He's got something special.
It's like one of those little salt sachets to keep the moisture away.
A desiccant?
That's the one.
How dare you? How dare you? Thank you for your service. Here's some pussy. I mean, Jesus Christ. That's outrageous. How dare you?
Jeez. Okay. Jeff, what about you?
I will.
Discounts.
And I do. Yeah. When I developed the bull elk knife, I developed it with, I had made it just this older hunting knife, and I made it And this friend of mine who is a Black Hawk helicopter pilot said he wanted something for his escape and evasion vest, but we had to make some changes, and then I sort of put the knuckle guard on, and I had to kind of switch over to not wood and using my Micarta and G10 and stuff like that, and that's how I got involved with the Kydex. And I said to him, he's like, I'd love to tell my friends about this, and I said, and he said, would you, and this is a long time ago, this is like 8 years ago, and he said, would you consider doing a military discount? So I said, absolutely, 100%. He's like, I'm going to be sending all my friends to you. What's the cricket sound? What's the cricket sound? But yeah, 100%. I usually just like, you know, no one ever, Mareko makes a good point. Like, no one ever really kind of brings that up to me. But at the same time, yeah. I'm like, you know, I am appreciative of people's sacrifice, and I would 100% honor some sort of discount.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to like, you know, let me see your military ID. I think all of a sudden that gets kind of weird, but.
Yes. Yeah.
What about you, Craig? Okay.
Well, what about you, Craig?
Do you know, I was just thinking about this. It's a very different attitude to military in the US. I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all, but it's a very different, like the way you speak about the military is very different to the here in Europe, how we speak about our military. And I say, I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all. So something I've never even considered. And I know you have, like, you know, you have Veterans Day and all that kind of stuff. It's something that we don't really celebrate half as much as you do.
Well, there's a reason, and it's because between, you know, World War II, people went to war and they came back heroes, and then for some reason, when they went to Vietnam and they were drafted and dragged to go, they came back as villains. And I think there was this, you know, realization years later of like, we'd really treated our soldiers poorly. And now there's a lot of people who really feel like, you know what, we should be celebrating these people because, you know, there are so many others. Like my wife's father came back from World War II and he was like, it was bad. It was real bad.
Mm. Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, they were just very, you know, they didn't care about what we had to do. And it was really,
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
No, I'm saying that's where
it's a cultural difference. Definitely.
Well, that's where a lot, I'm glad it's kind of changed from the way it used to be, because it's like, it is, you know, there is this, my father served in World War II and he was just like, you know, the Vietnam just really disturbed him in terms of like how people are treated. And he's just like, we treat them, you know, I was raised that we treat service members and people who do that, you know, on the highest order.
Yes, yeah.
So,
yeah,
10% off sense. And all the pussy treats you can have. Craig Lockwood is going to be sending you all them pussy treats, okay? Thank you for your service.
Right. I'm going to take a couple of minutes to tell everybody about Dharmasteel. Dharmasteel.se is the website. If ever you need some special steel to make something special, Dharmasteel's the stuff to use. It's a stainless Damascus. And we work with them every year with the Chef Invitational, which is their sort of award ceremony, where we see these beautiful pieces that people make. And I was speaking to Carly earlier today about next year's Dharmasteel Chef Invitational and another build along. With massive, massive plans.
Oh,
not like,
no.
Not, I mean, like previous years. This is massive plans. So it's all exciting stuff. But I mean, if you don't know what Dharmasteel is, give yourself a treat. Go take a look. Dharmasteel.se. Look on the Instagram, DharmasteelAB, and you'll see some of the beautiful stuff people are using. Super simple to work with. Really, really special stuff. So yeah, Dharmasteel.se.
We have feedback.
Let's do some of that.
Okay.
Then.
So, guys, once again, if you want to send us listener feedback, go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. We send it there. First listener feedback comes from our old boy Bingo Kindell. Last week we were talking about sustainability, and Bingo, that's Brigham Kindell. We call him Bingo. If you want to be ultra sustainable, stop using your grinder and use a file on your knives. Then, when the file is worn, turn that into a knife. Then you're just waiting man hours. That could be a hot take. So, there you go. Obviously, you guys don't know what to say about that. All right, Bingo. I mean, wasn't Bingo that time, was it?
No chance is the answer to that one.
I mean, you know, look, I'm with you. The sustainability thing was interesting because, you know, I still, to this day, I made a knife for a friend of mine and his you know, I'm not going to go into it, but I, you know, he wanted to pay for the materials. I'm just like, dude, paying for the materials is don't even bother. It's not even worth it. You know, it's just like, you're really talking about, you know, nothing.
And the work involved.
Yeah, yeah. It's all labor, and it's, and when you have to think about the sustainability, the fact that every time you make a knife, you are getting a little bit better every single time. So it's like, I think that it's a pretty sustainable situation. I mean, now if you were grinding integral bolster knives out of blocks of steel, that would be a different ballgame. But like knife making, I think is pretty sustainable. I would think.
Yeah.
In the long run.
I think so. I think, I mean, there is a chance, you know, we could be using sort of chemicals and stuff that, you know, they'll be run off and all that kind of, where do those chemicals go? But I mean, mainly, I mean, when, none of us are big, heavy industry that are doing, you know, a million times worse than what we're doing, you know? And I'd like to think that everything that we make is, we're all making it with a view that it'll last for a long, long time. We're not making disposable stuff, cheap disposable stuff, you know?
But I think also when you start to think about hiring people and using other small businesses and not just buying everything off of Amazon, and you're using small businesses to help your small business, or you're hiring people, or you're figuring out ways in which to group people into your circle. I mean, that's sustainable too. You know, the reason why I use my guy down the street for my t-shirts and stuff is because I think it's sustainable. I want my money to go in this area, you know, and the money I spend on shirts goes to pay him and pay his guys, and it's very, and then, you know, people from the area will buy knives from me, and it's just like, that's to me is kind of more the sustainability rather than like, you know.
So not so much ecologically, but more sort of community and spreading
you know,
community and money within the community. Yeah, it makes sense, yeah.
It's definitely something. You want to add anything, Mareko, or
no?
All right, Bingo. Good job, Bingo. Jesus Christ, Bingo. Help us out here. All right, this one comes. This is a twofer from Paul Jansen. Paul Jansen says, it's ironic. Last week we were talking about, we get this a lot about people wanting to deaden the ring of their anvils. It's ironic that we try to deaden the ring of an anvil and not the and not other things that are loud. If someone was using power tools, like, you know, chainsaws or even a lawnmower, people would assume that it's a loud noise associated with them. All tools make noise, and some are more acceptable than others. That's kind of an interesting point. You know, people get crazy about there's something about that, the ring of an anvil, that people just don't like. Right, there you go, Paul. Nice job. Get a fucking. And then the second part is, brace yourself, Craig.
Yeah. Wait. I got a follow up.
Go ahead.
What is the noise in the shop that drives you the craziest? Like drives you fucking crazy. You hate that sound so much.
Compressor coming on where you least expect.
That's pretty bad.
That's a pretty bad one. Oof.
Compressor coming on. Pretty bad. Yeah. What noise do I not like? I guess it's using a right angle grinder would be to me like the most offensive noise, especially if you're like grinding into some thin sheet metal. I think that's probably the most offensive to me.
The motor and pump running on the hydraulic press, like that high.
That's pretty bad.
That's a pretty rough one. When I was visiting Will Brigham, the artificery on Instagram, his neighbor, he works in a like kind of a light industrial shop area with multiple shops, and a guy across the way from him does auto body, and so he's got those pneumatic sanders going, and they're just like wee 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 wee.
Oh yeah.
Oh fucking oh my god.
Yeah, those are pretty bad.
That was pretty obnoxious.
Because that's those pneumatic. But you know what though? I hate to say this, but like in terms of palm sanders, nothing beats an air powered, like a DA sander. But for some reason, men have to pull it twice. Beep, beep. You know, you can't just use it. You gotta give it a fucking. You gotta give it a.
Just make sure the air is still connected before you actually use it. Have you seen the Festool, palm sanders?
No, I've seen. I know Festools and stuff like that, but no,
they're pretty damn nice. They're nice machines. I think they're made out in Germany or something like that.
But they have like, you know, like
top of the line.
Yeah, Festool makes nice stuff. Not for knife making, but for sanding and woodworking. It's pretty.
Yeah.
The second part is, and now brace yourself, Craig. Yeah. I'm not trying to be that guy, but CAD, CAD stands for computer aided drafting. not computer-aided design. Or at least it did when I was trained in it. That's how you know. You just had to throw in that part. That is like a very... We're going to go back to you for a second, Paul. They may have changed it, but that's what they called it since then. That was a very well-written thing of, I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to back it up with my resume. The next sentence will be my resume.
Is that when he went to college on his penny farthing?
Oh, you know, shit.
Language has evolved and changed.
Penny farthing. Anybody know what a penny farthing is? That big-ass wheel on the front and that little bitty wheel on the back.
Yeah. With a top hat on.
Yeah, top hat on. He's saying, you're old, Paul. You're a Paul.
That's
Paul, you're
funny.
Old.
That's
so, yeah. Is that what can be, is that a computer-aided design?
Drafting. Yeah, it probably may well be, but yeah, I mean.
I mean, what are you doing when you're drafting things, right? You're designing things. What exactly, other fucking reason are you using that?
Bull, Paul. Sorry, Paul.
Yeah. Fuck you, Paul.
Oh, wow. Paul is a great listener. He supplies, he weekly sends stuff 100%, but you heard what he said, Paul. You heard him. You heard Craig. Number one, the first 20 episodes is Craig. This is me. Was it me? That's what drives me crazy. We just came up on the anniversary of this incredible complaint email. And the complaint email stems from somebody saying, I love Knife Talk and I listen to it every day with my in the car with my or every week with my 4-year-old and my 8-year-old. But ever since, and then he says, ever since you got that Jeff on, with that juvenile humor and the cussing and the terrible ways, I can't listen to this with my kids. So if and then he wrote, I'm remembering that he said, if you wanted to grow your audience or get more sponsors, you might want to reconsider this. And then my response was, I'll tell Jeff. Signed, Jeff. And it was, but this is the hilarious part. This is the hilarious part. The hilarious part is everyone thinks it's me. That's how I find it hilarious. Mareko talks just as poorly as I do in terms of like curse words. And then the pussy queen over there, he's telling you to go fuck yourself. I mean, it isn't me, Paul. Hilarious.
Paul,
I love this
Paul's
shit.
Paul's in it for the fun, too. It's all
I love
good.
This shit.
It's all good.
And then J-Mod Knives, our good friend J-Mod Knives. I don't know if you saw the video. He's like, he's an awesome skateboarder.
Jesus, I saw that.
J-Mod Knives is an awesome skateboarder. That is cool. He's a knife maker, and he's an awesome skateboarder. Awesome. Love J-Mod Knives. He goes, I got some feedback. Mareko said something about setting up a mister on his grinder. I just wanted to say I changed from dry grinding to wet grinding, and I'll never go in dry again. Not having to dip the blade every grind saves more time than you think. Make that change, y'all. Get wet. So,
get ready for some
using
water
a mister. Yeah, are you using a mister now, Mareko?
I still haven't gotten it connected yet.
Right, I
still think it's too much water everywhere. Like, I don't see it for me being like, so I don't want to like get like a smock and deal with like water everywhere. It just seems like, and I know I'm going to get messages and somebody's going to send me a video of what their system looks like and they're going to stick their finger in it to point out how great it is. I don't mind dipping. Yeah. I don't mind a dip.
I've got two, and the older one rusts just by looking at it as well.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm thinking, oh, I don't know. It could be a bit messy.
Yeah.
And then we get a couple more if you want to just keep going, or it's really up to you.
Yeah, you tee them up. I'll tell everybody all about TexasFarrierSupply.com. They've got everything you need, whether you're a farrier, a knife maker, bladesmith, whatever you call yourself. Head to TexasFarrierSupply.com. One of the great things that they do sell is Indasa Rhino-Wet, which is the sandpaper of the superstars. All of our listeners use it because it's the best stuff to use. Saves you money and it saves you time. So head to TexasFarrierSupply.com, fill up your basket with everything that you could possibly need, and you get 10% off if you use Knife Talk 10 at checkout. TexasFarrierSupply.com. Go take a look.
Wilder Knives of Alaska says, I'm not a forge guy, but I find it hilarious that people complain about anvil noise. Hey, I'm hitting this piece of steel with a hammer and it's making a loud noise. How do I fix it? That is, when you boil it down to that, it definitely makes a point. I had to, I couldn't, for years when I had my shop at my house, I couldn't forge because my neighbor would come over and he'd be like, "Yeah, what are you working on?" And I was like, that would immediately turn into how long are you going to be doing this for? So it was like, that's the one thing. It's the hard part about it all is, once again, we're in this strange part of time where in society, where this job has turned into like a hobby. I would think that if you talk to blacksmiths 300 years ago and say, you know, 300 years, people are going to do what you do to relax. And I think they're probably turning and saying, fuck yourself, fuck you. You know, you're relaxing. This isn't relaxing at all. But yeah, I think that if I had a guy, I think that if somebody moved next door to me and they had an anvil and they were tinking, I'd fucking lose my shit. I would lose my shit. I would break out my wallet with my CMA badge, and I'd flash it like a police officer. And I would have to confiscate their
license for that boy. So,
that was a good one, Craig. That was good. Excuse me, sir. Listen, let me see your license registration. I don't think you're permitted to do this in this area. You know, I need to see the variance for this. Give me that anvil. What kind of anvil is that? Hey, button? No, I don't think so, my friend. I don't think so. Michael Bergfalk says, hilariously, I'm gonna have to explain this all, but fine. Hilariously, but admittedly, I love a good hole-shaped meal. Keep it real, fellas, or go fuck yourselves. Love you either way. We were talking about
like a bagel?
No, we were talking about last week. I was saying how much too much sweets we had in the house, and then I said at Christmas time we used to get sent these Racine Kringles, which basically is this amazing coffee kit. It's like a Danish, but it's like the shape. It's the shape and the size of a toilet bowl seat, basically.
Oh,
so it basically looks like the size of a toilet bowl seat, but it's. It's round, but not 100% round, like a big one. And so that's what Michael was referring to. So he likes round shaped meals. So.
Gotcha. Okay.
There you go.
Nice. Where are we? Tim Landini has sent in a question. I think we may have answered this. My son was born May 22. I haven't picked up a hammer since the month before. How do I get back into the swing of it? See what I do.
We get this a lot.
Yeah. And if there's a good answer to this, please let me know, because I've been grappling with this for years now, having successive children. It's difficult because this is one of those type of things where you can't go in and just say, "Oh, I've got half an hour. Let's go in and see what I can get done." Because you need dedicated time for setup and literally to get into the swing of things, you know, to find your way again. And grabbing the odd 20 minutes really doesn't, in this line of work, really doesn't work. So it is difficult. You need to set aside the time where you're not going to be disturbed, and I feel your pain. It's very difficult.
I would suggest getting in to whatever aspect of it that you enjoy the most. So if that's the handle sculpting or the forging or the blade grinding, whatever aspect of it that you like the most, that's going to be the easiest one part to do. But then once you finish doing that part, unless it's the very end of it, like sharpening the knife, you got to go to the next step. And if it's forging the blade, then you got to primary grind the blade or heat treat the blade, and then you got to put a handle on it, and then you just kind of get back into it, I would think. I worked for Bob Kramer for 3 years, and then I didn't make knives for 2 years. And then I got right back into it, like, almost. I mean, I had that 3 years of, like, constantly, every day, day in, day out, making knives for when I worked with Bob. So it was a little bit easier in regards to, like, getting back on the bicycle kind of situation. But it was a solid two-year break. And I was surprised at how easy it was to get back into it. But I think... You know, I have slumps when right now when I'm making knives, and I always kind of try to take a step back and figure out how do I get out of this funk or the slump or whatever. And the answer is always to do the funnest part, and that's the forging. And then because I do the forging. Now I have a knife. Now what? I got to fucking finish it. So then move on to the next steps. And so that's always been, that's kind of been the way for me.
The hardest part about forging, just forging in general, is it's a hobby that has a degree of athleticism to it. Mm-hmm. And I say that because I, when I was at the Center for Mental Arts and we were doing a lot of railings, we were doing pickets and pickets and pickets, and we're sitting in front of the forge, and there was an expectation of how efficient we would be, but also the physicality of it all. Like, you couldn't just be all of a sudden turn to your boss and say, I can't do it anymore, I'm tired. I mean, that that's unacceptable, you know? It's not what... So there is this, like, you do have... I did, at for a long period of time, start to change my opinion on it and say, all right, there's a physicality to this that I have to treat myself to a certain degree kind of like an athlete, because you just have to do it. And what I've noticed was, if I didn't do it for a long time, I'd be out of shape. For, like, physically, for when I say out of shape, I mean out of shape for forging for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To the point where, if when I'm when I go down to the Center for Mental Arts to teach a class, or when I go to Maker Camp, I'll forge every day for a week, even if it's just for like 20 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour, because I know that if I don't forge for a few months and I just show up, I'm gonna be huffing and puffing. And that's what I don't want. So there's a, you know, it is like riding a bicycle, but as a, but it, to a certain degree, like, you don't forget everything. Like, you understand the feelings, the general feelings. You do forget some things, but at the same time, the physicality of forging for long sustained periods of time, you lose that. You can, if you don't do it often, you will be out of shape for that particular job. So that's the one thing that I think about. Like, if I were to, you know, I'm not going to tell you to do what to do, but I mean, I would try to figure out ways in which you could do push-ups every day, or do something that, like, you know, do cardio, do something that you can, like, get yourself into it, because it's physical. And then you, what you don't want to do is you want to start in full blast and then all of a sudden you're just like huffing and puffing and sweating and just like huffing and puffing. And the guys who do a great job forging a lot are the guys who can forge steady and talk out of rhythm without losing their breath. Alex Steele is underrated because he could forge like a whole heat for something, and he could talk, and it, you could tell, if, even if he wasn't forging, you could tell. You could, if you took away the forging, it'd sound like he's having a regular conversation. He's not breathy. He's not like, he's not stressed at all. It's because he's in shape, and sometimes you lose that.
I suppose it's muscles that you're not using on like a normal everyday as well. These are specific things that you'd only use when you're forging.
Yeah. Not to mention, all of a sudden those calluses are gone. Like, all of a sudden you get them hot spots in your hands, or your hand hurts because you forged. You know, I haven't forged in a long time. There's a lot more to it than the stuff we talk about. There's a lot more the physicality of it all than not. So
But look, Tim, if you're there and you've got literally got a baby on your lap and you're thinking, I wish I could be doing something, you can head on over to knifeprint.com for some computer-aided drafting. And you can design what you're going to be making. You can make all your big plans, save them as templates and all the rest of it. Really, really simple. If you've never done it before, any sort of card work, knifeprint.com is great. They've got an educational center there to show you how to design the knives that you'd like to make. As I say, you can save them and go back to them later and edit them when you do have a bit more time. You can print them out to paper, so you can use them as a template. But let's say you're going to do some stock removal, for example. You can then press print, and they'll actually laser cut or a water jet cut them out of the steel that you choose, and they'll just ship them to you. So there's plenty of ways you can sort of keep your hand in. But yeah, knifeprint.com is certainly one of them. Computer-aided drafting in the browser.
It was kind of you to make that concession.
It is, especially for Paul, the old fart. I mean, it's my birthday tomorrow. I probably shouldn't be saying old fart.
Is it your birthday tomorrow? You just said
yes,
it.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, it is, yes.
I like the fact that you, you know, you are such a piece of shit sometimes. Respectfully, respectfully, respectfully.
Why?
Because you said it, and then you pretended like, oh, I don't, let's not talk about my birthday. That was hilarious, by the way. He's like, tomorrow's my birthday. Is tomorrow your birthday? Well, I guess, kind of. You fucking just said it.
Don't take this the wrong way, but you're a piece of shit.
I'm just, it was respectfully. I said it respectfully. I said it respectfully. How old are you going to be?
Sort of.
Oh gosh,
early 40s is what I'm telling myself.
No, what? Come on.
46.
I'll be 47.
Seven. Oh, you've been pretending like you're 10 years younger than me.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
For years, I thought, Craig's 42. No,
you know. Do you know what? I got really upset when we come back. I've got really down the last couple
Why?
Of days. And only today, my wife was like, what's wrong? You're moping a bit. I'm like, oh, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. She said, oh, I saw a couple of videos for the gig that you did earlier. And I said, that's exactly why. Look at the state on me. In my head, I'm 25 and I'm, you know, young looking and sprightly. I see these videos and I'm just like, oh, fucking hell, do I really look like that? I've got body dysmorphia, but the opposite way around.
what's the opposite way around?
You know,
which
when people think
that,
when people think they're really fat and overweight, but really they're not. I'm the opposite. I think I'm not, but when I look at myself, I really am. It's the opposite.
Listen, my brother, it's a privilege. It's a privilege getting old, growing old. It's a privilege.
Yes, look at it
it's
that
a
way.
Privilege.
Yes, you're right. You're right. You are right. Yeah.
Got to get out there, my book. I'm sorry that you feel you're having a thing about it. It kind of sucks, but at the same time, it's just nothing you can do about it.
No,
I just turned 50. You know how hard it is to just say that? It's retarded. Yeah. I mean, it's bad. Yeah. Oh, sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't mean to say it like that, but you can see I'm obviously stressed. It's tough, man. It's super tough.
It is tough. It is aging.
But
is
at the
hard.
Same time,
I think it's not hard until you get to 35.
That's what she said.
Then everything is. Yeah. Then everything is just so much harder, and it gets harder and harder every year. So yeah. But hey, we're healthy.
But life is hard. Everything that you know, that's the crazy thing about this knife, and I'm bringing it back to knife making. The craziest thing about knife making is everyone seems to think that everything is easy and you just tell them how to do it and then next thing you know they're doing it. But I don't think that anyone understands that everything in life is hard. Everything is a learning curve and it's always a big learning curve. I mean, I'm nothing more to say.
I agree.
You've made me feel better. Thank you.
Well, I mean, you know, I think you look great. I mean, you should be proud of yourself. I mean, you've done something that a lot of people haven't been able to do, especially later in life. Been able to start a band.
Now you're just digging the blade
no,
in
now
and twisting it a
I'm
bit.
I'm not being sincere there, Craig. I mean...
Let's give a tip to people. If they want to make their knife-making life easier, they could buy themselves a new grinder. And life would be so much easier. What grinder should they buy?
You gotta get yourself a Broadbeck. That's what you gotta get. I love my Broadbeck because it's just such a great tool that it's more than one tool in one. You got a disc grinder, you've got a surface grinding attachment, you have slack, you have flat, you have all kinds of just everything. it's what is it, like 7 different tools in one, right? And if you go to broadbeckironworks.com and you put in, is it Knife Talk 10 right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Put in Knife Talk 10, you'll save 10% on your checkout, whether it's tool arms, it's a full package deal, if it's the sewing machine or the leather sewing, as well as the surface grinder, any of those things, anything you get from them, you'll save 10% with Knife Talk 10 at checkout. Again, go check them out at broadbeckironworks.com.
Okay, NC Custom Forge. Hey guys, really appreciate the hell out of all of you. To keep it short and sweet, Mareko talks about spa days for blades. In this case, are all the blades to take down construction? And if are they take down construction? If not, how do you re-etch with a handle on? Also, maybe a curveball. How do you do so with a peened straight pin? So no Corby bolts. Blade with a full tang. Considering the longevity of my Damascus blades and if I should change construction for the sake of being able to give them the spa days down the line, I appreciate what you all do for the knife making community and all the entertainment along the way. Okay, so let's start with Morecco. When you say a spa day, what is it you're doing with your blades?
So usually when I get the blade back, it needs to be re-etched. If it's an early blade, maybe it doesn't have the S-grind in it, so they might also ask for it to be S-ground. But typically, at the very least, the Damascus blade needs to be refinished. Everything's hard glued up. Nothing comes back apart. I only do takedowns in the process of building knives, but I've always hard glued everything together to finish them. So when it's an integral blade, it's a hidden tang construction. And when I build my integral knives, I have a small synthetic spacer between the Damascus blade and the integral bolster as it transitions into the handle material. And that synthetic spacer acts as a kind of a buffer zone for me to paint on a resist, which is usually just nail polish. I like to use the clear nail hardening polish that you can get just at the Dollar Tree or wherever for pretty inexpensively, if not just $1.25 or whatever it costs now. And that's how I resist the handle from being exposed to the acids as I'm re-etching my blade. Now, if you're doing that with a full tang knife, full tang, non-integral, and if you don't have some sort of synthetic liner underneath your wood handle material, or let me back it up. If it's synthetic handle material like micarta, G10, or whatever, you're probably going to be just fine without any kind of resist. But if you do have wood on your handle, you're going to want to resist it. But that might be difficult to do. Yeah, as they were saying, if it's a peened on straight pin rather than bolts. But even if it was bolts, the flats would be, or like the screw heads would have been ground off anyways. So that's not really an option. So yeah, you got to paint on a resist. I think using some sort of synthetic liner underneath the wood, one, for the ease of refinishing blades if you need to do that, but two, honestly, just for the structural, to help increase the structural integrity of the knife, especially with burl pieces. If you have burl straight on the tang, the chances of that burl cracking from accident, you know, people accidentally drop it on the ground or whatever, that burl is more likely to crack and fall apart rather than if it had some sort of underlayment that it is permanently glued to, and then that synthetic underlayment is then glued and attached to the hand or to the tang of the knife. And again, it offers that buffer zone so that if you do need to dip the whole blade, you can just lap it all up with that nail polish resist, and you can dunk the whole blade in without any concern of acid getting onto the handle material and staining or ruining and damaging it. What do you think, Craig?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, you've talked about this multiple times, and I think that's the way to do it. Yeah, some sort of resist, as you said. Yeah, yeah. He's also said about Kerbal, how would you do so with a peened straight pin, so no Corby bolts, blade with a full tang, but I suppose it's the same thing, really, isn't it? You're resisting the handle, not taking the handle off.
Yeah, and especially if you're going into the ferric, you want to make sure if your pin is, I guess if it's copper, brass, bronze, whatever it is, you want to make sure to resist that. So say you do have synthetic handle material attached to the flat tang. That's great. You don't have to worry about painting on a resist. But if you have, again, copper, brass or bronze, those will deteriorate in your ferric, and that will bleed out, and that will affect your etchant. It'll pollute your etchant, and then it will also electroplate the copper that is in those metals back to the surface of the Damascus. So you will want to paint at least a resist, some resist over those pins that you have in the handle. But otherwise, you should be good.
Cool. Anything else, Jeff?
That was it. I mean, it's hard. It's hard. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Craig, you got
nothing
for that?
In fact, we've got another question. Another question just below from Valio Knives. It's basically the same question. Want to re-etch a blade that already has one handle glued to it? How would you protect the wood? Well, yeah, you just said that.
Let's get out of here. Is that enough?
Shall we do it?
Let's get out
of here. Okay. Let's. I know you're in a rush to get off, Jeff. Can we have a really super fast after show?
Oh, that's why I wanted to do a after show. Yeah, we don't have to do.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. Okay. Okay. This is where the fun starts. Kids, speak to you soon.
This show.
Saltburn. Have you seen it yet?
What is it about?
I just watched it.
You watched it? Yeah. Right, okay.
Just give me a synopsis.
It's a love story.
It's a love story.
But there's a couple of shocking moments in it. And,
it's a little unhinged.
I was warned about one of them, and when that happened, I was just like, oh. But then there's another one later down the line, and I was like, oh.
Is it on Netflix?
It's on Amazon Prime, yeah.
Is it good?
It's good. I thought it was great.
It's great, and I've got to say, it's one of the most beautiful films I've seen in a long time with regards to the shots. Every shot is like a piece of art. If you pause it, it's just like, wow, look at that. Like, it just looks super, super beautiful. But it's just a crazy, crazy storyline.
Yeah,
we're having to watch these things every so often. It's like it's more crazy than the next.
Yeah,
yeah. There's some shocking moments in it, and I mean your kid's away now, so you'll be watching it with the kid.
But, this is not one you watch with the kid. I don't think.
Yeah, there's two specific moments where they'll be etched in your head forever.
That sounds terrible.
And you know, like there's certain scenes in certain horror films from the 70s and stuff that there's certain scenes you'd always remember. I think there's two in this.
Forget it. I'm not watching this.
Not scary. It's not horror at all.
I don't want anything to be etched in my memory anymore. I want less things etched into my memory. That's the only good thing I'm hoping for as I get older. I'll forget
terrible things. Shit.
Yeah.
And speaking of, Craig, you were saying you were feeling blue. We're about to take our daughter back to college, and I'm not going to see her till May. So my wife and I are like, bummed. We had a long break with her, and we had such a good time, but we're just like... It's been so much fun having the house full, and now we're taking her back to the airport Saturday morning, and we won't see her till May. Really sad. Geez.
Yeah.
I ain't going to see that. I don't think I can see.
You can watch Saltburn. That'll cheer you all right up.
All right. And I'm not going to – don't spoil it for the – a lot of times when we suggest TV shows or movies or something like that, we will get a lot of feedback, and it'll be usually on the angry side. It'll be like, I can't believe you made me watch that fucking piece of shit. Now I'm like,
it's like our own book club or movie club. But it's all right, everybody, you got your assignment.
All right, well,
exactly.
Guys.
So, what did you think, Mareka? What's your review?
I liked it, actually. I mean, there were definitely parts of it that were fucking crazy, but at the same time, I was like, wow, that was a really good movie. And it was
really
It was a story style that is new, I feel like, or maybe a play on old others. I don't know. It's just it's one that you don't see very often. I struggle with watching movies and sitting there being able to predict the whole fucking thing. And I'm like, I don't even know why I sat through that. That wasn't very interesting.
No,
where this one was kind of like you could kind of like come up with ideas of where things might go, but you really just had no fucking idea where it was going to go.
God, no, it's like,
and it was almost sort of timeless. The music in it, set across when. At the time period it was done,
or
it was set in. But apart from that, it could be medieval. It could be super modern. It was really timeless. I thought it was great.
Now I have to watch this goddamn thing.
We're not saying this just to warn you about it, but I think it really is a great film.
Right.
I think it will.
Well, that's good.
I would recommend it.
Yeah.
Right. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Would you recommend it to someone who was 19?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
16.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but possibly depends on a 16-year-old. But I feel like it does have this kind of coming of age element, but it's more like college kid age.
Okay.
Coming of age. Right. Stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not traumatic. Oh boy. That's a good answer. That's how movies should have been reviewed. By the way, not thumbs up. But like, like, what did you think?
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, all right. I'll pull the plug. I'm whatever.
Oh. Maybe that was the wrong thing to say.
Oh no!
We'll hold it there.
Oh no!
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we shall speak to you again next week.
No.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.